Good morning. Israel was going through hard times. Jerusalem lay in ruins, inhabited by only a few who had recently returned after years in captivity in Babylon. The rebuilding task they faced seemed overwhelming. Not enough people, not enough resources. They just sat there in the rubble, focused on the good old days of the past, in denial about the present reality. So Isaiah spoke God's word into this context. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around. Isaiah isn't throwing out empty campaign rhetoric here. He backs it up with extensive details. Your sons and daughters are returning. Many ships loaded with gold and silver, resources to rebuild Jerusalem, are on their way. Caravans of camels to meet your transport needs. Flocks of sheep to resume temple sacrifices. So much is coming, you'll be thrilled. You'll be glowing, excited, full of joy. Now, this is not the health and wealth gospel, although I'm sure that text is used for it. All this is windfall, which honors Israel, but ultimately brings glory to the name of the Lord. It will make Israel shine so bright that the nations will be attracted to it, bringing glory to the Lord. It seems like the text doesn't ask Israel to do anything that difficult. Just stand up and look around. Get up out of the rubble. Look up and look around. If you're looking up at the horizon, you won't see the rubble. And the rest of the text is about what the community will see when they stand up and look around. They will see what God is doing. As is the case in Scripture, God does the heavy lifting. God's people don't have to do that much. Just stand up and look around. But we don't want to just stand up and look around because we struggle with accepting our role in this divine human relationship. We want to understand by applying our logic and analysis to God's promises and calls. So how did that work out for Adam and Eve? That's what they were doing, applying their logic to what God had instructed them, and it didn't make sense to them. How about for Jonah? How did it work out for him? He applied his logic, his reasoning to what God was doing, and it didn't make sense to Jonah. Not only do we want to understand, we don't want to leave our comfort zone. We want to be in control, not follow. We want to be right, so our analysis has to be correct. And we want to do it by ourselves, not as a community. It's too hard to do anything together as a community because, well, others just don't do things the right way, like I do. So if our role is not to understand and to not be comfortable and not be in control and not be right all the time and not do things on our own, what is our role? Our task is only to believe that God knows what is best for us and trust that God knows how best to accomplish that. For Abraham and Sarah, that meant simply standing up and going with only God's promise, "I'll show you where later." For Jonah, it meant going with God's word. "Hey, Jonah, I know you wanted Nineveh destroyed, but trust me on this. Syria changing teams is really much better for Israel." For Mary, it meant, "Let it be." For Jesus, it meant, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So what's involved in standing up? Well, standing up usually means making a conscious decision, unless your chair is on fire. It takes intentional effort to go from laying down or sitting down to standing up. For a while now, I'm finding it takes more effort to stand up these days. And I recalled a 92-year-old woman, number of congregations back, who could get out of her chair in a fraction of the time it took me back when I was 50. Probably had something to do with her putting 3,000 miles a year on a stationary bike. Standing up requires changing our position from sitting or laying down. Standing up enables us to see things that we cannot see when we're sitting. Standing up is the first step in moving forward. You can't move forward in a chair unless it has wheels. Abraham Lincoln is oft quoted, "I walk slowly, but I never walk backward." The only way to walk is to first stand up. Standing up, however, has some risks. You may be alone in standing up, which makes you an easy target for others. Some may criticize your standing up, interpreting it as wanting to stand out. Rosa Parks had no intention of standing out when she stood up by remaining seated on that bus in Montgomery in 1955. But because she stood up for justice, others followed. Martin Luther King Jr. had no intention of standing out when he stood up for justice. But because he stood up, others followed. Jesus tells us many times in the Gospels that he did not come to stand out. He came to stand up for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And millions followed. All God calls us to do is to stand up and look around. By standing, God's glory shines on us, and others can see God's glory that way. And when the whole community stands up, God's glory radiates from that place. Of course, I'm using this as a metaphor. Standing up means to be open to change our position or perspective so that we can see what God is doing now right in front of us. Conversely, it means we can't see what God is doing if we stay down in the rubble. Some consider the classic movie Field of Dreams a schmaltzy fantasy. It's about a farmer in Iowa wallowing in the rubble of a failed baseball career, father issues, and farm foreclosure. But he stood up. and experienced an epiphany and followed that new insight. If you build it, they will come. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord was offering Israel an epiphany, an opportunity to have an epiphany, a new and profound awareness of the answer to their rubble existence. They just had to stand up and look around. They could see the answer, but not from where they were sitting. They had to stand up and look around. Light is the dominant theme on Epiphany Sunday. If you noticed our light in the graphic of the wintry forest scene is getting brighter and brighter. Epiphany Sunday is all about light. It's all over the Isaiah text. The gospel text is the wise men following the light of the star to worship Jesus, the light of the world. Jed Abumrad, a Lebanese-American journalist and storyteller, tells about he stumbled into a profound epiphany by standing up and looking around. It took him decades and required significant adjustments to his positions and perspectives, and also a most unorthodox teacher. You can see that in his June 2020 TED Talk on YouTube. I highly recommend it. He concludes his talk with what he has learned about how we can experience light in the midst of the darkness of divisions in our culture today. He refers to a concept from psychotherapy called simply the third. The third happens when we work intentionally at the differences we have with another, or even the differences we find within ourselves. So much of what's going on is confusing. Even for ourselves, which answer is right? How can these two things fit together? But the third happens when we intentionally work at those differences with another or within ourselves until something new emerges. Not an answer that A or B was right or wrong, but something completely new emerges out of those differences. It's the relationship that was not there before between those two that is the new thing. In the last week, we've heard so much said about saying good riddance to 2020. But in the spirit of Isaiah's call, I invite us to stand up, look around in this 7-week season of Epiphany. In the light of Christ, I invite us to look for the new God is doing on the horizon, out of the divisions in our culture, out of the divisions among us, out of the divisions within our own selves. It's not about one side winning and the other side losing. It's about working intentionally amidst the differences to see the third, which is emerging. Perhaps what emerges can be Mennonite Church of Normal's vision for the next 3 years. Epiphany season is a wonderful time to work at vision in God's revealing radiance and glory. The January question at MCN: what is Jesus, the head of Mennonite Church of Normal, calling us to become and do in the next 3 years. Let's stand up as a community. And God's glory will cause us to shine. And in that light, we will be able to see what is on the horizon, what God is already doing. To prepare now for the vision work, which begins next Sunday, I invite us all to participate in the Litany of Healing, which will be on the screen. 6 MCN members will read sections of the litany, and the congregation is invited to read the lines marked all, which are bolded, with your mics muted. This is a time to both remember, to find healing for what has transpired, so we can move forward together in discerning new direction. This gathered experience does not mean that everything from the past is resolved. It just means that we are now committing ourselves to moving forward together to the best of our ability without being weighed down by the past. After the litany, I invite everyone to sing from Hymnal Worship Book 640, This is a Day of New Beginnings, with your mics muted.
Together, we remember God's faithfulness in our congregation's story. In forming a new congregation out of 2, in guiding us through times of accomplishments and creativity, of challenges and disappointments. Together, we remember our pastors and lay leaders, past and present, and acknowledge their efforts to lead well. Together, we remember congregants, past and present, and acknowledge all of their supportive ministry efforts. Together, we acknowledge that God's grace has enabled us to come this far by faith.
In recent years, we have persevered through discerning difficult issues and unforeseen situations. We have listened and talked and prayed. Sometimes we didn't listen well and forgot to pray. We didn't always agree. Some relationships were stressed. Some brothers and sisters left. But new brothers and sisters arrived. In the last year, we looked back and re-remembered, reviewed, and reflected. We identified and gained our insights, new insights into our patterns of functioning and matters yet to be resolved.
We are aware that collectively we are at different places now. Some are excited about discerning new direction from the Holy Spirit. We are willing to move forward with some anxiety. Some prefer to continue as we were
before the pandemic.
before the pandemic.
Lord, have mercy on us. We confess, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. We long for your grace and forgiveness. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. In God's great mercy, we are forgiven. We desire to move forward, extending grace freely to all.
As we now focus on discerning new direction, we commit ourselves to participate with hopefulness for the future rather than criticism of the past, to listen well to all voices, including the Holy Spirit's voice, to accept that the path forward will be different from the path which brought us here, to trust that unresolved matters will be addressed in the appropriate time and context, to let go of past hurts, and if we can't, to seek reconciliation.
Having remembered, we recognize this is also a day of new beginnings. A time to move on, a time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. We commit ourselves to grow in our relationships with each other and with God, to open and direct communication, following Jesus's way to resolve our conflicts, to anticipate the Holy Spirit's work among us, to discern together what Jesus, the head of Mennonite Church of Normal, is calling us to become and do. This is a day of new beginnings, a time to remember and move on.